Amen. It's good to be with you. I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had a great time. It was tiring, but had a great time. I'm in Acts chapter 17 today. I titled this, Revival Brings Changed Lives and Chaos. Revival Brings Changed Lives and Chaos. I will tell you that I put this sermon together not really knowing what I was going to talk about. I mean, I thought, Lord, I'm just trying to follow you, but there's a lot that I didn't know. And so Thursday night, I was up a great deal of the night. The Lord seems to get chatty with me about 2 o'clock in the morning. And so he began to speak and I began to listen, and I felt like he was telling me some things. So this sermon is going to be a bit prophetic. And so as he told me some things that I know that you're not going to want to hear, it scared me. So I talked myself out of it Friday, pretty much. I thought, well, maybe that wasn't the Lord. I'm not going to talk about that. And so then he gave me the same dream again last night, or not dream, but visitation. And then he told me these words. He said, if you don't have the courage to speak what I tell you, then I'll put another person in your place. And so what I'm bringing you tonight, today, is going to be some things that maybe you don't want to hear, but it's the Lord tweaking us. Because of where he's taking us, the Lord is tweaking us. And so I will have to be like you and just say, okay, Jesus, I submit to your authority. And so let's look to Acts chapter 17, verse 1, and says, and when they'd passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, Paul and Silas, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers to the rulers of the city, crying, those who have turned the world upside down have come here. That is a powerful line. Those who have turned the world upside down. I'm just believing that those who are going to turn Paris upside down are sitting in this room right here. Amen. Jason was harboring them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they had heard these. So when they had taken security from Jason, or a bond from Jason and the rest, they let him go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews, and these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women, as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica heard that the word of God was preached by Paul in Berea, they came there and also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away and to go to the sea. Both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens and received a command from Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, and they departed. Father God, we just come before you today. And Lord, I am looking to hear what you say. Father, it doesn't matter what a man says, but Lord, we look to you. Lord, you're the source of life, the source of wisdom, the source of strength. You're the source of reconciliation. God, we all need, Lord, your touch on our life. So I pray right now, Lord, I yield my voice instrument, my body, my mind, I yield to the Holy Ghost just to use, and I pray for your anointing upon me. I pray for your anointing upon the hearers today, that we would hear the message of the good news, the message of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revival brings changed lives and also chaos. That does not make sense to me one bit. I've been in church all my life, and all my life I've prayed for revival, saying, Lord, come on, come bring the good stuff, right? Bring the good stuff, and let's have a big time in the house of God tonight. But with that, not everybody accepts the message of the Lord. And so what's happening, we can go back through these cities, and the same thing is happening over and over and over. I looked it up in Derbe, in Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, Philippi, and Thessalonica. The same story. It might have been a different location, but it's the same story. They preached the gospel. Those who had ears to hear received what the Lord was saying with excitement. Their lives was changed. But those that were threatened that their little apple cart might be upset, that things were going to be different, that this is not the way we've always done it, church, they didn't like it. So what did they do? They caused confusion. They caused chaos. They many times they beat Paul and Silas. They ran them out of the city. Bad things was happening when good things was trying to happen. I suspect that it will not be any different today. Now, I'm believing God. I believe the Lord has gave me some things to tell you today. And some of them might make you mad. And that bothers me. I went and saw a prophet the other day. Some of this has been on my heart for a long time, but not with the clarity that I have right now. And the prophet began to prophesy over me. And the very first thing that he told me, he said, you are letting fear stop you from telling and from doing what God is telling you to do. That was hard to hear, but I knew he was right. What is revival? I looked that up, and it says revival is a reawakening or a rebirth, an invigorating experience, listen to this, where the Holy Spirit moves freely, amen, setting hearts on fire. Amen. That's what we need, folks. We need the body of Christ to have their hearts set on fire. I believe the Lord has told me, I don't want you to call it a revival. I want you to call it a visitation. And so much of today, I will be trying to use the word visitation, because we need a visitation of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we're believing God for. And the Lord actually spoke to me and said that the visitation has already started in Henry County. Now, I warn you this. It will not look the way you think it is going to look. You cannot compare it to Brownsville or Asbury. I'm telling you, God will do a new work in this time. So don't try to figure it out. Just keep praying for it. Just keep asking the Lord, Lord, visit us. We used to sing a song, Treva and I did, visit us. And man, we love it. We probably need to bring that into the church. At Thessalonica, many repented, but some of the Jews were not persuaded. So they attacked the house of Jason, and because Paul and Silas were staying there, thinking that they would be there, they went to get them. But since they wasn't there, they basically looked and said, okay, Jason, you'll do, right? We're just gonna wreak havoc on you. And so basically they did, and the Bible says they troubled the house, the rulers of the city. And then next, Paul and Silas go to Berea. I want us to be a Berea of the modern times. Berea, it says, was different than all the other things. It says they were more fair-minded, and listen to this, they received the word with readiness. What does that mean? They received the word with an expectation. You know that you will get out of this service what you expect. Some of you come to church with no expectation and you leave the same way. If you expect to meet with God, God will meet with you. If you expect things in the Spirit, God will give it to you. We need to have an expectancy in our heart. The Bible says that the Bereans would go home daily and they would search the scripture to what had been taught. Just to examine it, to make sure it was right. My goodness, I love that. What if we had a house full of people that was digging into the Word of God to find out what's happening right now in the Spirit of God? What's happening? It's wonderful to know what happened in the book of Acts, but I wonder what's happening in the book of Acts in Henry County right now, right today. If you think the Holy Spirit is not moving, you don't have your eyes open. You've got to become aware that God is moving. Every Tuesday as we gather together and we pray early in the morning, we have different people in the community that come occasionally. One of the men, his name is Herb. He co-pastors a church in Puryear. And he said a miracle happened in Puryear about a week before Thanksgiving. And we said, what is it? He said, there's five churches in Puryear. And all of them come together under one roof to give thanks to the Lord. Wow. Folks, that's a miracle. Pastors are very territorial. If you start looking for the hand of God, you'll start seeing what He's doing. But if you are not looking and you're not, if you don't care, I don't know how to say this nice. I just don't care what you're doing. I'm just doing my religious duty. We're going to talk a little bit about that. What do we do when the revival or the visitation begins in Henry County? First of all, let me just say this. Do not touch the anointed things of God. Amen. It's a scary thing to place your hand against what God is doing. And sometimes we do that out of ignorance. So I went to Brownsville during the revival. I think it was like 91 or 92, the couple of years that they had a great revival. And it freaked me out because I wasn't expecting to see the things that I was seeing. And there was a lot of emotionalism, a lot of weird stuff. So there happened to be a cop. I mean, you would line up for hours just to get into the church. We got there 4 hours early and we were way back in the line. And so I'm just sitting there and thinking, God, I don't know. This is crazy. This is weird stuff. And so I thought, you know, real revival brings change. And I saw a cop in the back of the church. So I'm just going to go ask him. So I got out of my seat and walked to the back of the church. And I said to the policeman, I said, can I talk to you for a minute? He said, well, sure. I said, you know, you guys have been in revival for 6 months, 8 months, maybe a year at this point. And I want to know, is crime going down? If that, you know, people were coming from all over the world. I'm telling you that every night of the week they were having service. This was not Sunday through Wednesday revival. And I'm not praying for that either, by the way. I'm praying for a visitation of the Holy Ghost that shakes people up so much that you cannot continue to live the life that you're living. And that policeman said, you know, nobody's ever asked me that. He said, but I will tell you. He said, yes, the crime rate has went down in our area. He said, great things are happening. He said, this is genuine. People's lives are being changed. That's what happens with a visitation of the Holy Ghost. So nothing happens spiritually that doesn't start with prayer. You have not because you ask not. It's what the Word of God says. We have to begin. Now, we've been doing that since we opened this church in 2012. We've been praying for a visitation of the Holy Spirit. And I believe we're that close. I believe we're right at the beginning of that. We have to. There needs to be more than 8 people at Saturday night prayer. How hungry are you? You know, I find that people don't get hungry for a move of God until it hits their family. Until you become miserable, hurting, rejected, then you will. The Lord told me this. The Lord says, there's men in this congregation trying to fix their marriage. And he said, I can fix it in 30 seconds. He said, if they would just humble themselves and seek my face. He said, their wives is not looking for a pocketbook of change. They're not looking for a GQ man. They're looking for a person that will seek me with all their heart. We need to recognize that it's a sovereign work of God. Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain to build it. It is not because of your preacher. And it's not because of you. It's because of the goodness of God. You think you want a visitation? You don't want it nearly as much as the Holy Spirit wants it.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit longs to come and visit us. Don't respond in fear. That's the other thing the prophet told me. He was just so nice to me. He said, God is longing to do things in your congregation, but you're holding on too tight. It was not an easy night. But I knew he was hitting on all cylinders. You know, there's a part of me that has come to the house of God today to apologize to you. I want to be the man of God with all my heart. But if you think I've done everything right, well, we're fooling somebody. So I've got to release and let God do his work. I've got to not let, you know, I'm a very relational person. I always have been. I love people. Love people. And so that's where the fear comes from. When you really love people, you don't want to hurt them.
Right.
You don't want to disappoint them. And that's man's logic. See, I'm thinking, well, if I say what God tells me, it's going to hurt people. So I met with a couple of people today because I felt like it's only fair to talk to a couple of leaders before I talk to you about something. So it makes sense in a little bit. And they both said, thank God. And I'm like, what? What? Total different response than what I was expecting. Folks, God is up to something, but he's tweaking us. And some change is not easy. The coffee bar has been bothering me for months. I could not figure out what's wrong with it. What are we doing wrong, Jesus? But I just knew there's something that was grieving my heart. But he gave me no clarity on it. So I just kept praying. I was going into the service one day, months ago, and I saw a little girl carrying a big old muffin with a fork stuck in the middle. It's amazing what I can remember. It's amazing what I can't remember. Fork stuck in the middle, and she had it right here at her heart, and she's just smiling so big, and she's getting ready to go into the sanctuary. And it grieved my heart. I looked back, and the person behind her was carrying sausage and biscuits going into the sanctuary. we're going to bring reverence back into the house of God, folks. I know that's not going to make some of you happy, but this is the place where the Holy Spirit meets.
Yes.
And we're going to respect that place. We are not going to take money any longer in the coffee bar. I feel like sometimes like we have a convenience store right outside of our sanctuary. And it has grieved me for months, and I knew it was the Holy Ghost. So we're going to lighten the menu significantly. There may be a donation jar up there. But we're not going to sell things any longer in the house of God.
Oh, wow.
Why? Because I don't want Jesus coming to Bridge of Hope and taking a whip to us. In Luke chapter 10, we have a story of Mary and Martha. And they invited Christ to the house. They said, "Will you come dine with us? Be in our house. Let us be the host. Let us take care of you." And you know the story. Jesus came and Mary went and sat down in the living room at the feet of Christ, hanging on his every word. And Martha was in the kitchen, working and working and working and working, and getting more frustrated by the moment and talking to herself constantly. Why is my sister not helping me? She knows the amount of work that needs to be done. Finally, when her frustration level got to here, can't you see this? She walks into the living room and she says, "Jesus, will you not get her up and make her come and help me?" And he said, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you're focusing on the wrong things, dear. Mary has chosen the right things, but you have not chosen so wisely." The Lord brought that story to my mind. Then he said this, "You have turned the church into a house of Martha's, not a house of Mary's." We are rewarding those that are working, not those that are sitting at the feet of Christ. We're changing, folks. We're going to make some changes. We're going to start a ministry called Mary Ministry. It is not going to be on church app. It's not going to have a leader. People are always coming to me saying, "Where can I serve? Where can I serve? Where can I serve?" Why? Because serving has become a god to this church. And it's the wrong god. And it's coming down today. And we are going to begin to sit at the feet of Christ. And any ministry that divides people from being in the house of God changes today or will stop today.
We're ready, Pastor.
Thank you. I hope you hear my heart. My heart is to get people before the throne. I think of the security team. I know their hearts are right. I know their hearts are just to keep us safe. But the Lord says they're taking people out of the house of God for a what if. He said, "Do you not think that I can protect my people?" I did a lot of repenting over the last couple of days. I'm bringing this to you out of brokenness. The Lord told me something about my daughter-in-law. It took me 2 days to tell her. I thought, "Lord, I don't know how this is going to come off." When I told her, she just began to weep. Had no idea what was going on in her heart. I'm telling you, we can trust His voice. We can trust God in these details of life. There will be times of service, obviously. There will be times when we'll say, "Hey, we need some help over here." And we'll all join in. I'm not saying we're dismantling everything. I'm saying we're tweaking a few ministries because it's imperative that we get people at the throne. not divide them and splinter the church. You know, do you know how often the church splinters the family? You come to church, we're all about family. Okay, your kids go over here, your wife goes over here, your husband goes over here. What? How about worshiping together? I believe that the end time visitation that the Lord has is going to be in the streets, and the celebration will be in the house. I'm just going to, don't want to embarrass at all, but I believe when Addie accepted Jesus in the park, it was the beginning of the visitation of God. That's how it's going to start. That's how it's going to go. You are going to, I believe that people are so ready that you're not going to have to talk people into salvation. You're going to tell them Jesus will change your life, and they're going to say, I want him. I need the change. I need deliverance. I need things to come off my life. I need a new mind. So because of that, I'm telling you, you need to be able to lead someone to Christ. And to lead someone to Christ, you need to do it scripturally. You need to do it through the Word. And so you may want to write some of these scriptures down. It's okay to write in your Bible. Okay? That's okay. I give you permission. Not that I'm anybody. But the only verse that you really have to memorize is Romans 3:23. If you'll just memorize that one address, Romans 3:23, and it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person I've ever talked to that denies that. We're all sinners. We all mess up. We all actually make a lifestyle of it. And people will say, yeah, that's right. And in Romans 3:23, right there beside it, you write 6:23. So that the next verse that you need is right there for you. And you turn to Romans 6:23 and it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Right? You've already told them you're a sinner. Now you're telling them, here's what it's going to cost you. This is what your disobedience, this is what you missing the mark. This is what it cost us. And this is talking about eternal, but I'm going to tell you, it cost you right here. Do you know that in the house of God, there's as many divorces in the house of God as there is in the world? That ought not be. That's wrong. Everything about that is wrong. I'm telling you, folks, when we walk with Jesus, the statistic goes on and it says, but families that pray together, it goes from 50% to 2% divorce. I'm telling you, women are looking for a man of God. They really are. They're looking for someone that will lead their family spiritually. And men are so conflicted. We're going in so many different directions. We have left God out of our lives. And I'm telling you, let's bring Jesus back into the family. I like to include after 6:23, write 5:8 beside it. And it says, but God demonstrates his love towards us. And that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were yet sinners, Jesus loves you as much as a sinner as he does as a saint. His love for you will never fail. Right? He'll never stop loving you. No matter how bad you mess up your life, he will not stop loving you. While we were yet sinners. Then you step out of Romans and you go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes on him shall have eternal life. Right? Whosoever. It's not about cleaning up your life and coming to Christ. It's about coming the way you are. Aren't you thankful? He takes us the way we are. The mess and all. He'll clean us up. John 1:12. I like to include this one when I lead someone to Christ. It says, but as many as received him, he gave the power to be called the sons of God. When you accept Jesus into your heart, when you say, I surrender, you become a son of God. You have every right to call him Father, because that's who he is. He's your heavenly Father. Go then to Romans 10. Write it there, John 1:12. Write Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, many of us mess this up. The word confess means homologio. Homo meaning same, logos meaning word. He's not saying confess all your sins. If we did that, Courtney would have been here for 3 weeks. It's confessing what he said. Not that we know that you blew it. We all are sinners, saved by the grace of God. He's saying that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I confess that you are Lord, right? I confess that you are the Son of God that came to earth and lived and died for me. Believe in your heart. Salvation is not about baptism. Salvation is not about cleaning your life up. Salvation is not about all the things that Christianity wants to make it. Salvation is about believing that Jesus Christ stepped out of glory, come to earth, walked like a man, went to the cross, and then come out of a grave 3 days later. That's salvation. It's more than mental assent. Many times in our world today, when we talk about the word believe, we just say, well, I agree with that. It's not talking about agreeing with it. It's saying, I believe. If I believe, I'll act on it. You believe that chair would hold you up, so you just plop down. Not a one of you that came in today looked at the chair and examined the chair and like, oh, I don't know. You believed. Let me just go one more step. Many of you have been saved for a long time. And if I ask you, are you saved? You'd say, yes, I am. And I'd say, no, you're not. You're not really saved. You are saved by faith. You understand that? You're saved by faith. The truth of the matter is you're walking your journey right now. But you're so ingrained in you. Stay with me. You're so ingrained that I am saved that I can't talk you out of that. But I can talk you out of every other promise that God gives. Why? Because we don't believe. I can talk you out of healing. I can talk you out of God getting you out of the pit. I can talk you out of so many things that God wants to do in your life. Why? Because you really don't believe it. But salvation has been ingrained in us. We believe. But the truth is, we're saved by faith. Judy Sprague is saved today. Because about 2 weeks ago, she breathed the last breath on this earth and the first breath over there. And that's salvation. Right? One day, we will be saved physically, emotionally, every way. Today, we're walking by faith. We're believing. We're confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Verse 13 of that same chapter says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're going to talk to some people that they're going to say something like this. Well, you don't know what I've done. I'm not a good person. And you need to say, but look at verse 13. I say, I don't care how screwed up you've got your life. Do you know that kids are screwing up their lives so much younger than we did? We at least waited until we were in our 20s. Teens. They're making decisions at 8 and 9 years old, guys. Don't be afraid to witness to a child. They can receive it. They can understand salvation. Let me go one more step on that. The mentally impaired can understand salvation. I don't get it. They may not know much, but you talk to them about Jesus and they get it. I think it's just God in them that they'll just, I know several mentally ill I have in my life that I knew they were born again Christians. They had a love for Christ in their heart. I'm telling you, Jesus has made this so simple for all of us. Don't complicate it. Let's keep it like he originated it. Let's keep it simple. You know, there's a book that I'm fixing to read. It was another thing that the Lord just sowed into my heart. So I began to tell my family about it. My daughter-in-law, who works for a church, she said, I'm reading a book right now called Simple Church. Simple Church. Folks, that's where we're headed. We're going to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. You hear me? It's not about everything else. It's about here.
That's right.
It's about here. These communion elements that you're holding in your hand. That's how simple it is. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful? We need to complement with a visitation and revival always comes an emotional side of things. And we need to make sure that we complement the emotional side of the visitation with the grounding of the Word of God. So the one thing that we need is we need to become Bereans. We need for those who have a gifting of teaching on their lives to get into the Word to teach others. Your class may be two, but that's actually what we need sometimes. We need to mentor each other and ground them. We don't want to create a bunch of fruitcakes. There's plenty of them in the Pentecostal church. We want to ground people in the Word of God, right? This is not emotionalism. Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Are you following me? You look like I just lost you. The gospel is not emotional. Hope is not an emotion. It may be in the world, but it's not in the gospel. My hope is tied to Christ. He's the anchor of my soul. So when circumstances turn ugly, I still have hope in Jesus. The only way this man can come to this church and talk about the goodness of God and the family of God is because he knows who his anchor is. It's that anchor that gets you through difficult times. So I pray that they're willing for a willingness of this church to be tweaked, because this is what the Lord has started with. I can't tell you this is all of it, but as he talks to me, I'll be talking to you. And the proper response is yes. Now I'm going to give you a bit of a warning, because God gave me a warning. He said, if you won't do it, I'll put somebody in there that will. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to make a lot of people mad. He said, the good shepherd goes after his sheep. And he said, but when he has a stubborn sheep, he'll break the leg of the stubborn sheep. You know the picture of the man with the sheep on his neck. That's a sheep that the leg has been broken. And to protect that sheep's life, he broke its leg so that it wouldn't wander into danger. Are you hearing me? I don't want you to get your leg broken. You follow me? Where you spend eternity is utmost important to God. And if you don't think God will upset your apple cart to make sure you make heaven your home, you're wrong. His discipline is kind and gentle at first, but it will get more severe the harder headed that you get. And I have found that sometimes Christians are hard headed. Let's not be hard headed. Let's be pliable to the Holy Ghost. I think everyone in this room want what I want. I want to see Paris, Tennessee, Henry County, West Tennessee. I want to see a visitation of the Holy Spirit like never seen before, so that people's lives are changed. It's not about me. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. But we must listen to the instructions of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? It's time that we get behind the vision and quit doing your own thing in the church. That's not going to be tolerated much longer. You're going to have to stop it. Get behind the vision of the church. Before you do things, you might need to ask permission. I know the old saying, it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. That's going to bring the judgment of God. Not the judgment of Eric. It's going to bring the judgment of God on you. Live in submission and humility. And let's watch God do a remarkable thing in our lives. I don't know. Do you have children that are prodigals? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Tell you one more thing. I've debated with sharing this one to you. The Lord said this to me. He said, I don't want to make you think that the Lord gave me a promise, but he just spoke it. I'll just speak it the way the Lord spoke it to me. He said, Eric, what would happen if I healed an autistic child in your services? And he said, it literally fell off of them. And all of a sudden, they could see and relate what would happen. And I said, the next Sunday, the church house would be filled with parents with autistic children. And he said, that's right. Are you following this? We got to quit trying to do it ourselves. You hear me? We're trying to push it. We can't push it. We just got to pray. God, man, when these deacons come up here, I don't care what, you got a toothache or a toe ache, I don't care. Get yourself up here. Get some prayer. Prayer is what changes things. God changes things through prayer. Let's say it better. Are you following me? Are you excited? I am. Would you stand with me? You have the elements. You might want to peel that top layer back. Does anybody need the elements today? Yeah, we got some over here. We might need more than, looks like the left side over here, my left side. Tony, can you grab a basket or something and swing it over here? There should be another one back there, I think. Just a couple of things. We will be taking communion every week through Advent. Advent closes on Christmas Eve service. Christmas Eve service will be a service that we're not asking anybody else to participate. It's just Treve and I are going to do it. It's just going to be a candlelight communion service, and it'll be a sweet service if you get to be here. It's many in the back too, Willie. But we believe in open communion. In other words, you don't have to be a member of this church to take communion with us. But you do need to be saved. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, then you're drinking damnation. to yourself. It's what the scripture says. I want to read just a little bit of scripture in 1 Corinthians 11. This was on at the upper room. He said, "For I received from the Lord, which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So we need to pray. You need to examine yourself. In two ways. First of all, is there sin in my life? If there is, let's get rid of it. The Lord says, if you've sinned, tell God, forgive me. That's all. And then let's move on, right? But I also believe that one of the things that we do is that we don't take communion full of faith. I believe this is powerful. I believe that when we celebrate communion, we're celebrating the brokenness of the body of Christ and what he's done for us. So my eyes are on him. So if I'm sick in my body, I'm believing that God's going to heal me as I take this because of the broken body of Christ. If my marriage is broken, I'm going to believe that God's going to heal my marriage. Say, "Pastor, he can't do it that fast." Oh, don't. Is there anything too hard from God? God can heal your relationships in a moment's time, can't he? He can. As I was driving back from Cincinnati yesterday, we were in Louisville traffic, and so I couldn't hear much of the conversation, but we was talking to Sue, and she reminded me of something that I knew was from the Lord. She said, "Pastor said this one day. He says, don't replace the urgent for the important." We have done that. We have replaced urgent things with important things. This is important. Yes. Celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that do not know you as their Savior and the Lord, that Father, that they repent and they confess that they believe that you are the Lord Christ, the Messiah. And they ask you to come into their heart, forgive them of their sins, be their Lord and Savior. Now, folks, as I prayed that, I can't pray that for you. You have to pray that. You have to let those words come out of your mouth. Doesn't have to be loud. But you need to say, "Jesus, I believe, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior." And if you'll do that in sincerity, you are born again. So wrap that first part back. Take that little wafer out. The body of Christ was broken for you, so that you could receive healing. 39 stripes on his back for you. Are you sick today? Do you need Jesus to touch you? Take this full of faith. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the stripes upon your back, for the crown on your head, for the physical ailments that you went through, and the hurt that you paid for my healing. And right now, by faith, I lay hold of the promises of God, and I say yea and amen. And I'm believing right now, Jesus, that you're healing many people across this congregation. In Jesus' name, let's take this together. Now, if you can,
take that other part off without spilling this juice all over. Oh, here we go. Started got to work it around. Life is in the blood. You know what else is in the blood? Your DNA. You know, if you want to be like Christ, it's found in the blood. Right? Oxygen travels through your blood to every organ in your body, every cell in your body. Life is in the blood. Jesus, I thank you not only for eternal life, but for life right here, right now, that you have said that Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but you have come that we might have life and have it to the fullest, or have abundant life. Jesus, I pray for abundant life for every person. And with that abundant life, God, I pray for abundant joy, abundant hope, abundant peace in their homes, in their minds, in their relationships, in their bodies. Make us whole, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that together, Trina.
You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all.
For from you are all things,
then to you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things,
and to you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
You're worthy of it all. We worship you.
Oh,
praise the Lord.
You know, you have a service like this, and it leaves you with a question you have to answer for yourself. Are you going to accept this like the Thessalonians did in Acts 17, that were proud and rebellious against it? Or are you going to be like a Berean and search the scripture and see whether it's true or not? That's a question we all have to answer for ourselves. Praise the Lord. I pray that we're Bereans. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.